It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. Today, Adam and I are here to discuss Drafters, an awesome best ball platform that you can get in on today. Sign up with the promo code FTN and get 25% deposit match up to $400. Adam, we're going to walk through all it, like marry this episode with yesterday's episode of Fade the Chalk, ADP movers, and talk about some differences in ADP for players that were, if you're drafting on different best ball platforms, there's some guys here, man. Like, we got 10 plus written down that stand out, man.
Yeah, and like obviously understanding the difference in rosters and scoring and format is obviously going to, you know, transition to different ADPs. But there was a lot that stood out when we first looked at it, and that's honestly a huge reason why. But yeah, it was kind of cool to look at the differences and see which players stood out to us.
Absolutely, man. And I mean, right now they have a fantastic Best Ball Championship Live. $11 to get in. This thing's probably going to overlay, Adam. Like, have you already done a bunch of these drafts? I know I've been hopping into them, but $11, 25K to first place, and out of 10,000 entrants, we're at like 2,000 right now. So, yeah, sign me up, man. Like, it's awesome. I've been knocking out a ton of these drafts as fast as I possibly can.
Yeah, it's always cool to see all the different tournaments that a lot of these different sites have. And we were looking at it, you know, before we got on, you know, early this afternoon, and there's a lot to really look at and take advantage of. So getting in on these tournaments, and just, again, understand that if you're, you know, coming and playing from different sites and platforms and stuff, just, again, make sure you understand that these sites have different scoring. So you need to kind of adjust and be on the fly.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, buddy, because, like, different other sites, like, have, like, maybe it's half-point PPR. And the thing about Drafters is there are 20 rounds, not your customary 17, 18. If you're doing some other sites, maybe it's a little bit bigger. So you are going those extra two rounds a little bit deeper. And I have an article dropping later today on some late-round gems over on Drafters walking through their overall ADP. And some guys, man, like, people are still sleeping on. Like, they're out. There's one player in that article that doesn't even have an ADP. Like, he's outside the top 230, baby. So, like, you got to go down there. But this is the things that we're talking about with all this ADP, where you can take advantage of these things. Adam, like, we've clowned other different sites. Like, not just trying to get on their case about stuff, but, like, ADP inaccuracies. And some people get married to this ADP, and they don't go up and down the lists. They don't go find players. And some of these players, like, get overlooked. They're steals. They get under-owned in some of these drafts and some of these big tournaments. And if it's like, if this thing overlays and it's you versus 5,000 people, and only a handful of them have said player that's outside the customary ADP, this is how you win. This is how you dominate, and you have a different team at the end of the show. So, I mean, let me flip this over. We're going to share our screen and walk through this awesome site and walk through some of this ADP, man. Because going through every different position, starting with the quarterback position, you can see what I see, my friend?
Yes.
All right. So starting with the quarterback position, I know we discussed three guys that stand out right here. First of all, Jalen Hurts, and you know my love for Jalen Hurts, but he is going a little bit earlier on Drafters. Right now, he's sitting at 102. Other sites, you'll see him like 108, 110. Maybe he falls a full round. I think it's notable here, Adam. You know how much I love Jalen Hurts. Like, I'm still willing to push the button right there at 100 because I still think he's undervalued, but what are your thoughts with him?
Yeah, I think he should be on most ADPs for whatever site, a top 10 quarterback. And like on other sites, you start to see the rookie quarterbacks like Trey Lance. They're starting to get bumps, and some of the quarterbacks that were originally ahead of those rookies are starting to slide down. That, I think that's been the case with Jalen Hurts on some other sites. But right here, you see he's well ahead of, you know, Trey Lance and Burrow. Burrow's we talked about this yesterday. Burrow's kind of fallen pretty much everywhere, as you shake your head. So yeah, like I think
it's ridiculous. Like, yeah, we talked about it yesterday, man. Like, can we just say, like, we're out over our skis that we're pushing Joe Burrow down? Like, I've seen on some sites he's outside the top 12 quarterbacks. Like, what are we doing here, people? Like, honestly, what are we doing? Like, do you think he needs to be outside the top 12, Adam? Like, legit.
I mean, the only way I would put him outside the top 12 is if you just... Actually, no. The only way you would put him outside the top 12 is if Trey Lance or Justin Fields were named the starters today. Then, okay.
I mean, that's fair.
Sure.
That's
but
fair.
As of right now, no.
Well, and that brings us to Trey Lance, because there are other sites where he is like QB 10, QB 11. Like, he's firmly planted inside the top 12. We're talking about it. We don't know that he's going to be the starter. Yes, do we, like, outside of all of our, like, leans and what we think, and yes, should he be the starter versus all that kind of stuff. Again, we talked about this yesterday. Coaches don't care what we think at all. They don't care what I think. They don't care what you think. They don't care what Twitter thinks at all. And we have Trey Lance being drafted as a top 12 quarterback. Now, on drafters, he's going lower, like about a round, round and a half lower than other sites. Like, he's at 117. At that spot, I'm willing to sit there and press the button, because as soon as, like, Shanahan came out and said, I have kind of a lean. I think I might know. Come on, man. You know who you know you're starting. As soon as that's announced, his ADP is going up. So I think he's a player. If you're hopping into these drafts right now, you need to take advantage of that, because
it's the same thing we talked about before the NFL draft. Like, when, you know, you're drafting Najee Harris in the fourth or fifth round before he's on a team, and all of a sudden he gets drafted in the first round of the Steelers, and now he's a second round pick, and all this stuff. And it's not the same, obviously, but it's, like you said, like it's trying to take advantage of news before it actually breaks. And if you have a lean one way or another that Trey Lance is going to start, and even if he doesn't, like, if you just believe he's going to start sooner rather than later, then we all understand the upside of him as a potential top 10, maybe even top 7 quarterback in this system and everything. And you could be getting him at quarterback 12 or quarterback 13 still, which is obviously presents a massive value.
Well, and he's flipped with Matthew Stafford, and you know how high I am on this Rams passing attack. And I put this out on Twitter the other day, and I was like, so the takeaway with the Sony Michel news, the takeaway with all these running back issues with the Rams is you need to invest in this passing attack more, because the other outcome here is if all the rushers are then Sean McVay has already been very profusive about what he thinks about Matthew Stafford this offseason. Do you think he's not just going to let it rip if Stafford is cooking and he is crushing the opposition? Like, Sean McVay is just going to be like, well, you know, we have to feed Sonny Michel. We have to pull out the plate, pull out the fork and spoon. We got to feed Darrell Henderson if Matthew Stafford is just crushing people through the air. So Matthew Stafford's going at 104. It's about a round, round and a half higher than other sites. I think it's notable. I'm still willing to draft Matthew Stafford there, man. Like, I love him this year, but I know we both talked about it. You love your Robert Woods. I don't hate the man, but do you think Stafford is still a smash right there, like in the hundreds? Because I think you should still be absolutely crushing him at that ADP.
I mean, yeah, we've seen Sean McVay already this summer. Just like, he's like really just so high on what Stafford can bring to the offense. And it's no secret that last year, Jared Goff, they just couldn't throw the ball vertically. And that's going to open up more. And I think we're going to see that more with the injuries they've had to the running back position. Yes, their defense is very good. So, like, Stafford's not going to be, in my opinion, in a lot of game scripts where he has to be throwing the ball 45 times. But I think the efficiency with Sean McVay, a play caller, he hasn't had Sean McVay. I mean, last year was Matt Patricia and Daryl Bevel. Like, Patricia, that team, like, led, I believe. Again, it's not an actual statistic I know for a fact, but based off just watching them, I feel like the Lions led the NFL in rushes on first down. They faced so many second and nines after giving Adrian Peterson a first down carry. It was ridiculous. McVay's offense with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, it's going to be great for Stafford. So, yeah, like, you can argue that he may not have the ceiling as some of the quarterbacks around him, but, like, barring anything crazy happening, I'd be stunned if he was outside the top 12.
Agreed. I mean, I think that the pace is going to be awesome. I mean, unless, like, I put it this way. Like, I don't know if we're ranking Stafford outside the top 12. Outside of, like, are you pushing these other rushing quarterbacks that we don't know are starters yet, like Fields, Lance? If you want to throw Lawrence in there, although I think it's a tougher bet to make right now because Urban Meyer just looks like a total buffoon. Outside of them, I really don't know where we're pushing Stafford outside the top 12.
I mean, I'd rather have Stafford than Burrow.
Oof. I don't disagree with you. I have Stafford. If you head over to FTN Fantasy and you look at my ranks, he's higher than Burrow right now. I think the floor and the ceiling are both a little bit higher there because I think this offense is going to be damn good. I think the pace is going to be awesome. Yeah, it's
the efficiency versus volume, right? Like,
yep.
The Rams are going to be a pretty efficient offense, but Stafford in his prime with the Lions, like top five pass attempts every year, lock it in. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to be the case this year, whereas Joe Burrow last year before he got hurt, second in the NFL in pass attempts. Their defense is still not great, and they lost their best defensive player, in my opinion. Actually lost two of their best defensive players in the offseason, in William Jackson and Carl Lawson, who's unfortunately out for the year now for the Jets. But yeah, like their defense was not great last year. They lost pieces. I know they brought in some defensive line help, but still, like, Burrow should be, at worst, top five in pass attempts. Whereas I don't know if we can make that argument for Stafford. So,
no, I don't think Stafford finishes top five in pass attempts. Again, I agree with you. I think it's the efficiency versus volume aspect. We talked about that in previous episodes. If people want to go back and go through the catalog, and you and I talked about like our this or that, and we talked about that with Russ. I think it's a similar conversation with Matthew Stafford, and I lean the efficiency to Stafford. But again, the volume is going to be huge for Cincinnati. So out of the quarterbacks, let's head over to the running back position. One guy that you mentioned off the hop here when we were going through this ADP that stuck out to you, Austin Eckler is higher than Aaron Jones. You don't see that on other sites. Walk me through your thoughts on that.
Again, it's understanding the format, right? On drafters, it's full PPR, so that's going to massively help Austin Eckler, who has 80 to 90 catch upside, whereas Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, they just don't. And Eckler, like on other sites, it's not like he's like a late second, early third. Like he's still like, there's been plenty of drafts on other sites where Eckler goes at the 112 to one turn, right? So it's not crazy. But now after, you know, we've seen the Aaron Rodgers news of him coming back. When we first saw that happen, Aaron Jones went right back up to a consensus easy first round pick. But here he's ahead of Taylor, he's ahead of Barkley, and he's ahead of Aaron Jones, which again, like, I don't think is wrong, especially when you look at the format. Like, who catches the most passes out of that group outside of Eckler? Probably Barkley, but is it like 60 to 70 might be his ceiling? Whereas Eckler, like, Austin Eckler is legitimately the number two target in his offense. And we saw his target share with Justin Herbert last year when both players were on the field. We know he's catching more passes. He'll probably catch more passes than Taylor and Chubb combined. And then Gibson's down there. I've talked about how I'm not overly concerned about him not playing on third downs, but we obviously at the same time know he's not going to come anywhere close to Eckler's pass catching ceiling. So, you know, it's obviously a huge reason why that he's what, 10th overall. Again, like given the format and everything, and it's still like even in half PPR, right? On other sites, like Austin Eckler's still in that range where Aaron Jones is and Jonathan, like he's still in that range, but the extra, you know, giving the full PPR aspect, that'll probably bump him up, and that's why we're seeing it here, I think.
Yeah, I mean, per the ADP, he's a locked-in first-round pick. You're seeing him slip to the second round in other formats. I want to bring up Barkley here, because in diving through, and I've been in the the bowels of preseason DFS. I've been doing all the things preseason, and the one thing that stuck out to me, and I want to mention Barkley here, going off script a little bit, is that he's at 11 right now. We're all still talking about, is he hurt, is he not, is he going to be limited and all these things. The thing that stuck out to me about week two of preseason, that if they are that damn worried about Barkley, then why are the Giants running Devontae Booker, and he was playing as much as he was with the horrible draft of Mike Glennon, and all of these backups, when Joe Judge, like, sat everybody of consequence in week two? I think that they're tipping their hand a little bit, Adam. Like, looking at this, if you're getting Barkley in the second round of these drafts, or he falls because of he's got the red Q next to his name on here, and other sites, like, Is it out? Is it an injury? What have you? If he's going to fall a little bit, I think now is still the time for you to get your exposure to Saquon Barkley. Because if reading the tea leaves, and that is a case, and like they're still just like trying to mitigate expectations for Saquon. Because today, there are reports that he got live reps in practice. Still has the red non-contact jersey, but he was getting reps in practice. The ramp up is slowly kind of quietly happening, but do you have any concerns about Barkley? Or are you with me that, like, if we kind of sift through all of this, the team is telling us something without telling us something?
I did a draft this morning and got it and drafted him 18th overall.
Ooh, wow. So, that's nice.
So, there's still plenty of concern there for a lot of people, but I agree. Like, we've seen more positive reports lately than we saw earlier, obviously, in the summer. And, like, yeah, I have some concerns about the entire offense and the offensive line and everything, but, like, he's still going to, like, there was the initial report that they're going to potentially ease him in. But then again, you look at what you talked about with the preseason usage for Devontae Booker, and maybe Barkley's good to go. We haven't seen him play at that elite level for a long stretch. It was the stretch to end the 2019 season, and last year obviously he missed pretty much the entire year. So it's like, it's easy to forget, but this is still arguably the best, most talented running back in the league. And even though that offensive line is bad, what if he just gets a bunch of checkdowns and catches 80 balls? Like, I think that's still possible. So yeah, I'm warming up to Barkley. Like, for me, I would rather take him in the first round than Jonathan Taylor, but I get it. I get the trepidation still.
So I want to go back to a point you made about Eckler, and you said he's going to be the second option in that passing game. Kenny Golladay, if he is hurt,
I don't think he's practicing again today. So yeah.
So here. Well, the reason I'm revisiting this, you talked about Eckler as the second option. How is Saquon Barkley not the first option in that passing attack? Who the hell is taking targets away from him if he's on the field? What, Evan right. Ingram? Who, yes, we talked about drops don't matter. We went through all of that on last episode and stuff like that. But he's competing with what? Maybe Ingram?
Shepard?
Hey, come on, we're not still in the Shepard train. Kadarius Toney? No. John Ross? No. Kyle Rudolph? Mm-mm. Like, Barkley could be the first passing option right there if Kenny Golladay is out. So I think right now is the time before any other kind of, like, really positive news comes out of Giants camp. And if I'm reading the tea leaves right, which I hope I am, because outside of that, it doesn't make any damn sense that if you're going to sit all your starters, that you play the top backup. If he's going to be the guy that you're leaning on heavily in the first few weeks, like you claim to have done or are going to do, then why did you play him? Because that makes no sense at all. Going down the map here a little bit of ADP, I can't, man. I don't understand it, and I haven't understood it. If it makes me a hater, fine. Fine. I'll own it. Josh Jacobs at 50 is getting drafted almost a round ahead of other best ball sites. And Lord help me, on a site that is full PPR, help me make any damn sense of this, Adam. Because I mean, with him and Myles Gaskin's ADP is thrown off here too. He's in the 70s on other sites, and he's at 58 right here. Talk to me, because I'm staring at this on the screen, and I'm like, I'm speechless. This is craziness.
Yeah, it's definitely odd. Josh Jacobs has 53 receptions through two seasons in the NFL. He's, I think, outside the top 25 in that span in routes run among running backs. And they bring in Kenyon Drake, who they've talked at a large length about his ability as a pass catcher. Plus, you expect more from Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards in year two. And, oh, by the way, Darren Waller is locked into a 25% target share. Also, oh, by the way, the Raiders' offensive line is completely depleted based off last year. I think what it comes down to is a lot of drafts, a lot of people just tend to, okay, I want to fill my starting lineup, right? And a lot of people draft that way, right? Like, it's, you got your three receivers, you have one running back. Okay, I need to fill out my second running back, and then I can draft bench players. A lot of people still draft like that. I think that might be part of it. But, yeah, I mean, on a full PPR site, like Josh Jacobs set around higher, it's very strange.
It's absolute insanity to me. Like, I don't know what to make out of that. That's craziness. Like, to me, I'm just like, on a full PPR site and with everything that you just discussed, it seems like insanity to me.
And
he should be in the
and obviously the ADP hasn't caught up yet, but like James Robinson,
yeah,
he's obviously going to, like, he should be going where Jacobs goes, if anything. Like,
he's sitting at 85, and that's a really good point, Adam, because if you're talking about people being like married to roster constructions and builds and filling the starting lineups, you get into these drafts and with a 30-second clock, people freak out about it. Like, not in slow drafts because they got time to kind of like simmer and think and okay, where am I going to go in a draft? And so you got a 4-hour clock on drafters versus 30 seconds. Are people more likely to be a little bit more married to the ADP in these fast drafts? We see that constantly. I mean, look, James Robinson, he's going to go up. But right now, still on the site, he's at 85. So if you could get him in the 6th or 7th round, I think there's still some equity to be had. Now,
oh, he should be a 4th round pick in any format. So if you can get him the 6th or 7th round, just lock that in. Like,
there's still equity there. Like, yeah. I like that. But there is some merit. Now, we're talking about... Now I want to give another layer to that, because these larger field tournaments, like we're talking about 10K entries to the bigger best ball tournament here on Drafters, 25K to first place. With that tournament, I'm not likely to draft James Robinson. Maybe if he falls to the 7th, maybe I get in on him if I haven't previously. But with us really smashing more drafts right now, I think that you're already drawing, not saying drawing dead, because the ADP is going to continue to go up like we're talking about. If you get him in the 7th, maybe you get minimal exposure, but you're also talking about, you're fighting against like 1,000 other entries, maybe half of that, like 200 entries. You're fighting against a bunch of other teams that drafted James Robinson in the 10th round, 12th round, wherever. So in that aspect, I think that I'm more likely, maybe I get minimal exposure in the 7th, but past that, no, I'm moving on. I'm just going to, like, you're making the bet that he doesn't pay off. Something happens, we see variance, but in 12-team leagues, I think that you're more likely to draft him there versus their two large field tournaments where I'm probably more likely out unless he falls to the back end of the 7th.
Yeah, it's very similar to the Daryl Henderson thing when Cam Akers first got hurt. It's very similar.
Or if you went 0 RB, I'll say that. Then he makes a lot of sense as like your RB1 in a wide receiver heavy build, or you know what I mean? Like, in that instance, then maybe I get, that's where I get my exposure. Basically, like, he fits the build. And right. you're overcoming, like, not overcoming, but you're, the reason for the season is because of how you've constructed your team and not so much chasing a rising ADP. But past James Robinson, I talked about Myles Gaskin. Any quick thoughts on him before we move over to wide receivers? Because he's going high here, man. Like, we've seen two varying weeks. Like,
I think his ADP just continues to fluctuate based off the preseason usage. And
great.
Obviously, after week one of the preseason, everybody was losing their minds. And then he was still, like, I don't want to say in a committee in that Falcons game, but, like, it wasn't just Myles Gaskin. Like Malcolm Brown still played. Like, they're all playing with the first team. So, like, I think we should be somewhere in between, like, not going crazy after week one, but I also don't think we should be like, whoa, Myles Gaskin, we were wrong, he's clearly the guy. I think he's going to start as the guy, but I think this is probably still a little high for me, but like, if you just look at based off the running backs he's around, like, I would still probably rather, I don't know, he belongs in this tier. It's just, do you feel better about him getting the work for his team, or do you feel better about Javonte Williams, you know, or Mike? Probably feel better about Mike Davis, but it's interesting given the two different weeks he had in the preseason.
Well, I think, again, he falls into the Robinson tier. Like, if he falls in a draft, do I draft him? If I'm going 0 RB, wide receiver heavy, however you want to term this, and we got tons of terms for best ball right now, however you want to shake this out, I think Myles Gaskin is a player that I haven't been drafting a ton of the entire offseason because I like the wide receivers. I know their roles. I see the upside. I can make the upside case in the path for other players in the 50s and 60s. It's harder, and we're basing our assumptions off of last season, which, looking at that on a year-to-year basis, off of running backs that were stretch-run heroes, have no draft capital, that come out of nowhere. They're very difficult bets to make, and rarely do they ever pay off. So it's really, that's the bet that you're making. Then, okay, well, he doesn't pay off, and he just falls into all of this other tier of running backs where we've seen bust in the next season. Your Justin Forsett's, your C.J. Anderson's. The list is long, Adam. Hell, even Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake busted after, like, the breakout stretch run hero being in Miami, and then the next year, and they're like, nah, we don't need the Drake. Gase at least says that. Moving over to wide receivers, man. Bunch of guys that stand out here. I want to start this with Juju. Juju Smith-Schuster is at 65, and he's in the mid-70s. Maybe he falls into the 80s in other best ball platforms. Are you willing to draft Juju at 65? Like, I feel like that's not an egregious draft pick. Like, him right next to Tyler Boyd? I mean, are we making the same kind of bets there? Like, I think it's fine, but I won't go overweight on Juju at this ADP.
I mean, I'm really high on Juju. I wrote about him on the site. I just think he hasn't been the elite dominant wide receiver most of us thought he'd be after Antonio Brown left Pittsburgh, but like, he's still been really productive. I understand his efficiency numbers weren't great last year, but he still caught over 90 balls, has the opportunity to catch 90 plus passes again. Again, this is PPR. I understand Najee Harris will probably be more involved than any of the running backs they had last year, but this is still a team that's going to want to throw the football, especially if they struggle to run it again. And Roethlisberger, the Steelers, if you look at our advanced stats over at FTN, they had the fewest seconds to throw in the NFL. They threw the ball so quickly. That's going to benefit Juju in the slot, who was like bottom five in average as a target. I know we talked about wanting to play out wide more. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen. I've been taking him ahead of ADP on other sites. So on a full PPR site like Drafters, I'm smashing Juju at this spot easily. Like on other sites, he's going after Deebo Samuel, after Cortland Sutton, after Laviska Shenault, and I've still been drafting him, depending on roster build and a lot of those drafts, ahead of those players. So on here, definitely I will too.
Yeah, I think his ADP is really curious, and where you see the differences in sites and platforms and stuff like that is that
I think he's just being like slept on in general, yeah, in fantasy. I just think because he hasn't been like game breaking like his rookie year and the year after, like, he had the one year where he was like, remember when he was like pushed as like a first round pick the year Antonio Brown left? Mason Rudolph was his quarterback. Like, that whole season was terrible for Pittsburgh. Last year, yeah, the efficiency numbers weren't great, but he had 9 touchdowns. He caught 90 balls. Like, he's a wide receiver, like 16. Like, still productive.
He's still good. My worry with Juju is that if he is in that still that mold of short area targets, that Najee's coming for those targets, man. Like,
that's fair.
You talked about Najee's going to get more targets. You can't get any worse than 32nd in the NFL. Like, that's where the target share was for Pittsburgh last season. And that's absolute insanity. And, of course, we do a live show, and, of course, you got to have grass mowing because that's usually how content goes.
It's usually at my house. Yeah.
This is how it goes, man. Still staying in these ADP streets, my friend. Darnell Mooney, you've been really high on. He is at 97 over on Drafters. Now, other sites, mid-80s, high 80s. I know that you love Darnell Mooney, and I'm not saying I don't. I'm not trying to bury the lead. I mean, come on. He's got to be like, right now, you're like, okay, getting all the exposure. All the Mooney to the moon. Like, that's basically you every time you log into Drafters, right?
Yeah, but there's also a receiver going about 10 spots after him.
Who's getting a lot of steam? I mean, well, he's getting a lot of steam, but did you also see the report about his AC sprain? And we're talking about Marvin Jones. If everybody is not first time tuning into the show, if you don't know that Adam loves Marvin Jones, Welcome. Stay a while. You know, unpack your bags. But Adam, I'll give you the floor. I mean, we're talking about Marvin Jones, so I'm just going to shut up.
No, I mean, the question was about Mooney. Yeah, like, obviously, like, it's frustrating watching, because we haven't seen Justin Fields, and hopefully we see that in their final preseason game. We haven't seen him really play with Mooney and Allen Robinson. So it's like, I want to see that more, because one of the huge reasons why I'm high on Mooney is because A, he's immensely talented, he gets open at a really high level, and B, I expect Fields to be the quarterback at some point. So I want to see that. But yeah, like, I think he's somebody that I'm definitely gonna be targeting, because I've drafted him. Again, I was drafting him a lot in like the back end of the eighth round and a lot of other sites. Now he's been starting to rise on other sites. And then Marvin Jones, yeah, I think I saw that he's got the AC sprain, but mm-hmm. he's playing week one. He probably won't play against who they play, Dallas, I think, in the preseason week three. Mm-hmm. Yep. But he'll play week one. I'm not worried. And if anybody's worried, sure, be worried. I'll keep drafting Dax with wide receiver one.
Group? Are you buying the donuts and stuff with the support group if he doesn't play week one?
Yeah. I don't know what I'll do if he doesn't. He's playing week one. He's playing. But those are obviously two really enticing spots at receiver. And then you were interested in the ADP for Mr. Rondale Moore there at what, 119?
That's crazy, man.
It's a pretty massive difference.
It's a big difference. So you're looking at other sites. He's going in the hundreds right now, high 90s I've seen in some drafts. And with Rondale Moore, I mean, if he's going to slip to 119, the other thing we're talking about here, people, is that, like, why the hell is Josh Jacobs going early on a PPR site? Why is Rondale Moore sitting at 119 on a full PPR? That's the engine. That's the hype engine for Rondale Moore. Just running, baby. We're getting sound effects here. Rondale Moore, though, full PPR site. What are we doing to let him slip to 119? Because I don't really get it. Like, behind Henry Ruggs? No. Behind the one thing that's been egregious this entire offseason. And I'm sorry, Falcons fans. I apologize. I'm not really that sorry. Russell Gage versus Rondale Moore? No. No, 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 no. Like, don't do that. Draft Rondale Moore. I mean, in preseason, he's being hyper-targeted, and yes, they're trying to work a rookie in. I understand that. The other thing about it is that they're showing you how they're going to use this guy.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about Arizona's version of Deebo Samuel. Like, that's what we would like, right? Like, and he's going 60 picks after Deebo. What? I don't get it, Adam. Like, he's a smash right there.
Yeah, and it's like you talked about how they used him the preseason. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins hasn't played. Nobody's expecting or projecting Rondale Moore to have more targets than DeAndre Hopkins. That'd be foolish. But it's their exciting rookie. They got in the first preseason game. It was really impressive. They were getting the ball in any way immediately, and then those are highly convertible targets, right? Like, it's jet sweeps, it's touch passes, it's screens. And this team is going to run a ton of screens. They did it last year with Kyler Murray. I believe he led the league in screen passes or was among the league leaders. A huge percentage of his throws were behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah, you'd like to see them get more downfield ability, but, like, I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. And if that's the case, then Rondale Moore is going to have, you know, he obviously has the opportunity and ability and talent to break one, but he's going to get a lot of those four-catch games where two of them are coming off jet sweeps and touch passes. And again, on a full PPR site, that makes him a lot more interesting.
I love him, man. And I mean, while we're love listing here, Adam, let's just talk about it, man. Terrace Marshall, what more does this man have to show you? But really, I mean, what does he have to show you at this point?
He hasn't scored a touchdown yet.
Oh. And he got caught behind by, like, as he was, like, holding up, he maybe he's 40, maybe he's slow, Adam. What are we doing at 136 here? Like, that's just free money to me. I mean, for a guy that, like, this is an offense that, Sam Darnold, if he's just as good as Teddy Bridgewater, that's all he has to be. An offense that's supported with low pace, because their pace was bad last year, supported three top 30 wide receivers. That's with a terrible red zone offense. Christian McCaffrey out, which, yes, if you want to talk about target shares, that's fine. When Christian McCaffrey was on the field last year, his target share and Mike Davis's target share were not very different. 16% versus 16.4%. Yes, we could talk about small samples, but it's kind of debunking the narrative if you're going to talk about, well, Christian McCaffrey is going to give like a 20% target share. We didn't see it last year when he was on the field. So projecting that forward and that eating into the third wide receiver spot for Carolina, we're talking about unknowns and things that we didn't see. So if that's what you're going with, I don't know really what you're looking at. And Terrace Marshall, I think his ADP needs to climb, man. Like, behind Gabriel Davis, no. Behind Jalen Reagor, no. You want to put him up there with Rondale Moore? I think that he's being drafted still a round to a round and a half after where he needs to be. But do you agree with me, like, that he should be somewhere in like that, like, 115, 120 range? Like, he's still going way too damn late.
Yeah, honestly, like, I don't really have anything much to add. This is just a little too low for him. And, like, mm-hmm. I mentioned, like, I love Gabriel Davis, but he should not be drafted ahead of Terrace Marshall. So
no. There's no
And
way,
honestly,
man.
Like, we both love Bateman, but with the fact that he's missing time, like, I don't see how you can take Bateman over him either.
No, I don't see it, man. That's just kind of crazy. Definitely my eyes got huge when I saw that, and I was like, okay, well, I guess we're doing a lot of drafters drafts. Moving over to the tight end position. Dallas Goedert's ADP is still high, my friend. He's at 98. I don't think that, like, the ADP here has shifted enough to account for the fact that Zach Ertz is still on this roster. And the other thing that's happened in the preseason, that I think if Philly was more likely to move on from Zach Ertz, Tyree Jackson's injury and the fractured back and him missing 8 to 10 weeks really hurts, because Tyree was balling out in camp, was doing all the right things. Like, there was nothing but positive reports about him as a size speed freak. His injury, I think, makes more of an impact than many people might understand with Philly and that depth chart. I don't think we moved down enough on Dallas Goedert. Now, I have been high on him because, I mean, part of the range of outcomes was Zach Ertz was gone. And then he should be climbing into this TJ Hockenson, Mark Andrews tier, if that's the case. But I don't think we've adjusted enough to the news and all these things that have happened that Zach Ertz is probably going to stay at him. But, I mean, do you agree that he probably needs to drop into that one teens range, like around Higbee, Tanya? I mean, maybe be like near Noah Fant. That kind of feels right for him. Like behind Noah Fant, but like in the one teens range.
Yeah, I agree. And again, like, all offseason, I was just like, Goddard was the last tight end I felt great about. And then if Goddard wasn't on my team, I would just, you know, take Irv or Gerald Everett, you know, and just kind of maybe take two tight ends. But now with Zach Ertz looking like he's going to be there, and not just being there still, but playing a pretty large role in the offense still. And yes, the Eagles are going to run as many two tight end sets as anybody in football. We know that. But, and Goddard's not going to be bad for fantasy. Like, he's still going to have plenty of weeks, but he's not going to be able to even come close to top five status if Zach Ertz is still there. And yeah, I understand Zach Ertz isn't the player he used to be. He's not going to break a lot of long plays, but he's going to be targeted. He gets targets. So, like, I think you can easily make the argument that Logan Thomas should be ahead of him, given the amount of routes he runs and how he's looked in the preseason. I wouldn't move him. Like, I would agree, it's between him and Fant, but I definitely wouldn't move him below Higbee or Tonyan. I'd still have him above those tight ends. But just in general, yeah, like, he shouldn't be a top 100. I know it's splitting hairs, like, he's 99, but I think he should be, like you said, like the 110 range.
Yeah, I mean, but we're talking about it. That's a round in drafts. You know, so it's like, are you going with, whether it's a running back, wide receiver, taking a quarterback, like, you're going Jalen Hurts versus Dallas Goedert, you know, or you're going with, like, say, Tom Brady or Stafford or somebody like that. You're going these other positions versus going with Dallas
Goedert. And I think it's a lot of the same argument with the Myles Gaskin and the running backs, right? It's like, if you miss out on tight end, you look at your lineup and your roster and you say, oh, crap, I don't have a starting tight end yet, and you just take Dallas Goedert when quarterbacks that you can stack are still on the board, just receivers. We talked, like, I mean, who are the receivers going in the 98 range? We talked about Rondo where he was going, but that was after, like, the 98 range. So it's like, you could be drafting, let's see, Darnell Mooney, Marvin Jones, Elijah Moore,
Corey Davis.
So it's like, and again, this is best ball. So it's like having too many receivers, and you don't have to decide who's on your bench or not anyway. So it's like, I think a lot of times that, especially with tight end, because there's like the five or six elite options, you don't have a tight end in your roster, and somebody says, oh crap, I need to fill that starting spot, and they just take Dallas Goedert, you know, a round ahead of ADP. And again, that's if you like Dallas Goedert a lot, then who cares about ADP? But again, just having that mindset of not having to always just draft for to fill out your starting lineup.
Well, and going through the ADP here, I mean, like we talked about it, Logan Thomas should be going higher. He's a player I've been coming around on a whole lot. We talked about this before we turned the mics on. Logan Thomas is a guy that I'm slowly coming around on with the Samuel news and the injury plus the preseason. I'm not a fan of his efficiency and those routes that he ran last year, but if the efficiency increases and he's still going to be that damn involved, because he was playing every single snap, Adam.
He ran
with the first team.
He led the league in routes run among tight ends, and he was like well ahead of Travis Kelce. Like it, not like by like a hundred, but he was like it was Logan Thomas in terms of routes, and then decent drop off, and then everybody. Like he just, and that's all we care about for tight ends that aren't Travis Kelce and Darren Waller and George Kittle. We just want routes.
Well, and before we get up out of here, you're getting Marvin Jones love in the show. I'm going to mention Irv Smith here, man. And the reason I'm bringing Irv Smith up is not just to plug Irv Smith. The reason I'm bringing him up is because I think that his ceiling outcome and where his range of outcomes lies, can we say that, like, Dallas Goedert falls probably into the Irv Smith range of outcomes? Like, if Ertz is there, you're looking at 750, maybe 800 yards, but probably not, more like 700-ish, and then you're relying on touchdowns. But that's kind of what we're playing with Irv. It's like, that's probably the range, and he should be going, like, Irv should be going higher, Dallas Goedert should be going lower. But I think their expectations and their median outcomes are really damn similar.
Yeah, I mean, Irv's obviously, he has way more talented players on offense with him, with Thielen and Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson, obviously. But, like, Goddard is going to be now competing for targets with Ertz, Devonta Smith, and Jalen Reagor. So it's like, there's a path to where both players are getting 5 to 6 targets per game, and Irv has the downfield role, and I think he's going to get red zone work, too. And we saw, again, his stretch when Kyle Rudolph was out last year isn't what we should project for the entire season. He's probably not going to be the tight end 4, but it just shows that, again, you talk about routes, he was running routes, and he's super young player, mentally talented. So, yeah, like if you told me right now that Irv Smith at the end of the season averaged 6 targets per game and Goddard averaged 5, 5.5, I wouldn't be shocked.
No, I wouldn't either. And that it kind of leans into the fact that we're looking at the similar median outcomes than, like, why is ADP the way it is? Like, I mean, I know you've been lower on Gesicki. I'm adjusting a little bit to Gesicki because of all the freaking wide receivers, which they're getting healthier. They are. But Gesicki is going to play a large role in this team, and if all the wide receivers are still hurt and stuff and banged up, like, his range of outcomes is similar, maybe a little bit higher in that instance. But I think that Irv Smith's ADP still needs to come up. I think Dallas Goedert's ADP needs to drop a little bit, because these guys should be viewed in a similar bucket. All right, everyone, that is Fade the Chalk Live. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. Adam and I walking through all of these ADP adjustments, differences in best ball sites. Again, you need to get signed up today for drafters.com. Use the promo code FTN. They will match 25% of your deposit up to $400. All of this action is awesome. I've got a mountain of content in the works, already up on the site, and more out today. Some late round targets that you need to be going with. I've got stacks up on the site. There are my top 5 players to draft. All of these things are live at FTN Fantasy. Those last two are free to read. Get in on this action today. Take advantage of the overlay and chase the 25K to first place. Adam and I are going to be back talking more things, get you ready for week 1. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.